Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts for your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for blessing us with this opportunity to come before you. We know, Father, that truly we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. So prepare your people, Father. Touch our hearts and our minds and cause us to truly yield to you, because we do have need of you every hour of the day, every second, every minute, Father. We need you in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and giving his great sacrifice of his life, his shed blood, which is the only way that we could truly come to you. Father, we love you, and we love that you've given us that great sacrifice. We love that you, from the foundations of the world, chose us, Father. You called us when we were not even a thought, Father. And you caused each one of us to come to you. And, Father, we thank you for that call. And we ask, Father, that you would strengthen us through your word, that you would teach us, that you would cause us to grow in your grace and knowledge, that you would prepare us to receive Yahshua when he returns. So we thank you again, Father, for all that you've done for your servants, for our life, health, and strength, for each and every one of us that has come to do your will. And we ask, Father, that you would send many more to the harvest fields, because we know the fields are white to harvest, Father. And it's in Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Where is the evidence of your faith, brethren? Is it how you show up at the feast days? Or how well you tithe? Or is it how we treat one another? I had an opportunity to show the evidence of my faith Friday morning when my therapist was hurt in a critical car accident. I really don't know how well she's doing, because I wasn't able to really follow up as far as with her at the hospital on Friday. But I did hear from someone else that, you know, someone died in the accident, but she was taken by ambulance, not by the helicopter, because the Hershey Lifeline was flying overhead, ready to take away whoever, you know, was surviving to the trauma unit in the near. And her going by ambulance, it gave us a good sign that she was doing better than, you know, some of the other people involved in the accident. So where I said I had an opportunity to show the evidence of my faith is that I could have asked everyone there at therapy to just bow their heads and join me in prayer. But I prayed to myself, and I did it silently. I didn't involve, they were at work, and several people were there, like myself, receiving therapy. But when I heard of the accident, I prayed myself. And I should have used the evidence of my faith and asked everyone to join me in that prayer. But I did not. Like I said, I prayed to myself and asked Yahweh to, you know, be with this young lady. Title of this message is Evidence of Faith. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. For in it the elders had witness borne to them. By faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of Yahweh, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which appear. By faith, Abel offered to Yahweh a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, Yahweh bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it, he being dead yet speaks. I'm going to turn over to Genesis chapter 4. I want to look at that a little closer. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It says, excuse me, and the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man with the help of Yahweh. And again she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So you see the differences in their occupation. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat of it. And Yahweh had respect to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin crouches at the door, and to you shall be his desire, but you should have rule over him. And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And now curse to you from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shall you be in the earth. A fugitive and a wanderer shall you be in the earth. See, Abel's blood cried out from the ground to Yahweh. It was an evidence of his faith, as it said back in Hebrews. But a lack of evidence of faith is what Cain did in allowing sin in his life and him killing his brother Abel. And he became a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. And Cain said unto Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from your face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and it will come to pass that whoever finds me will kill me. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh appointed a sign for Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. In other words, he gave him a sign so that the people would not harm him. And Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and lived in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. See, if we have that evidence of faith in our life, not only will we not go out from the presence of Yahweh, we will draw closer. We will be in the presence of Yahweh. Turn with me to Jacob chapter 3. That's Jacob chapter 3, or James in some, chapter 2 in some of your Bibles. We're going to start at verse 14. This message is entitled Evidence of Faith. In Jacob chapter 2:14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things necessary to the body, what does it profit? So, you can say, I have faith, but like Scripture is saying, if that brother or sister comes to you and has a need, and we don't fulfill that need, we haven't exercised faith. We haven't shown any evidence of faith. You understand? Faith without works is dead. Even in verse 17, so faith, if it has not works, is dead in itself. Yes, a man will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that Elohim is one, and you do well. The demons believe also and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of Yahweh. And you see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. And in like manner was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way, the spies that came from Israel. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. So faith and works works hand in hand, brethren. You have to have both working for you. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 21. But now apart from the law, a righteousness of Yahweh has been manifested. And that term law there, if you look at it carefully, it should be translated oral law. Okay? Because you have to look at, when you're looking at the fish, when you're looking at the word closely, you have excuse me, you have to understand who's speaking and what they're talking about, the context of the passage. But now, apart from the law, a righteousness of Yahweh has been magnified, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of Yahweh through faith in Yahshua, the Messiah, to all them that believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh, which we know to be a fact. But justified, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Messiah Yahshua, whom Yahweh set forth to be an atonement, a propitiation, through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins formerly committed in the forbearance of Yahweh. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that has faith in Yahshua. So if we have faith in Yahshua, we're going to accept his sacrifice and the law that he brought forth, not the law of sin and death of sacrificial law, okay, which could not cleanse or make a man perfect, but the blood of Yahshua, that sacrifice. In verse 27, it says, where then is the glory in? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? No, but by the law, a law of faith. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Not of the works that you do in keeping the law, but the works of the law. Or is the Elohim, or is Yahweh the Elohim of the Jews only? Now, you have to look at this. When you look at the word, the term law here, what it is going back to and what law he's referring to? He's referring to the oral law. See, because they placed that, the Jews placed that above love of Yahweh and the Torah. Or is Yahweh the Elohim of the Jews only? Is not the Elohim of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. If so be that Yahweh is one, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Now, the term circumcision, when you see that, when it's mentioned in the New Testament, is normally talking about the Jews, because they are of the circumcision. The uncircumcision is speaking of the Gentiles. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll look at start in verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, "For freedom the Messiah set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage, which is sin." See, because we were freed from sin, which is, Egypt is synonymous with sin. We were brought out of Egypt. "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, the Messiah will profit you nothing, because you shedding that blood yourself, thinking that you can save yourself, and you can't. It's the blood of the Messiah that can save you. The Messiah will profit you nothing. Yes, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Now, this is talking about physical circumcision in regards of accepting the Messiah. Verse 4, "You are severed from the Messiah, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace, for we through the Spirit of by faith wait for the hope of righteousness. For in the Messiah Yahshua neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." So this is what we have to understand is what is going to be our evidence of faith. See, how we treat one another, that love that goes forth from us to our neighbor, from us to our brethren, from us to the sinner, okay? Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Yahshua, by the way which he dedicated to us, a new and living way, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a great priest over the household of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart, in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near." See, too many people believe that they can do it themselves. They can do it on their own. They don't need anybody. They don't need to be joined with anybody. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in the Messiah Yahshua for good works, which Yahweh previously prepared that we should walk in them." Okay? He's telling us that it's by grace that we've been saved. Not of works, that any man would glory. Because if we say it's because I did thus and so, this is why I have this, or this is what Yahweh has done for me, because of this, we're puffed up. we're building ourselves up. It's about faith, okay? And the evidence of faith in your life is going to come through as you grow in the grace and knowledge of Almighty Yahweh. Verse 9, not of works that no man should glory, for we are his workmanship, created in the Messiah. Yahshua for good works, which Yahweh previously prepared that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. See, the Jews are calling you uncircumcision, Gentiles. That you were at that time separate from the Messiah, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. And truly that was so. If you think about it, we had no hope without coming into the knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah. But now, in the Messiah Yahshua, you that for once far off, made near in the blood of the Messiah, for he is our peace, who made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to Yahweh through the torture stake, having slain the enmity by it. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off and peace to them that were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. It's not two different spirits. It's one spirit. It's one body, brother. And you're going to see that as we go through this later. So then, you are no more strangers and sojourners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yahweh, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Messiah Yahshua himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Master, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Yahweh in the Spirit. Assurance in the word of Yahweh is based upon faith. The scripture never speaks of assurance of love or assurance of works or assurance of experience. The scripture only speaks of the full assurance of faith. And the full assurance of hope. And hope is built upon faith. This faith is the gift of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, wrought in and given to Yahweh's elect in regeneration by the preaching of the evangel. True faith is based upon and born of the knowledge of the evangel. No one can or will trust Messiah until he sees. And there are three things that we'll get into in a minute, after I go through a couple more scriptures. Philippians chapter 1. Turn to Philippians 1. We're going to look at verse 27 to 30. Philippians 1, 27 to 30. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the good tidings of the Messiah, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one soul striving for the faith of the good tidings, and in nothing frightened by adversaries, which is for them that an evident token of perdition, but of your salvation and that from Yahweh, because to you it has been granted in the behalf of the Messiah, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So Paul was telling them that they would have to suffer the same way that he suffered. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verse 8. Take heed lest there be any one that makes spoil of you through your philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after the Messiah. For in him dwells all the fullness of the majesty on high bodily, and in him you are made full. Was the head of all principality and power, in whom you were also circumcised with the circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of the Messiah. This is a spiritual circumcision. This is not a physical circumcision. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of Yahweh, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the torture stake. Having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And truly, Yahshua did have complete victory over Satan the devil and our sins. And as long as we have given ourselves to him completely, spiritually, completely, given ourselves to him, we no longer walk in sin. See? And if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father who will overcome. Romans chapter 10. We'll start in verse 1. Romans 10, 1. Says, brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to Elohim is for them that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Yahweh. For the Messiah is the goal, the end of the law, the goal of it. To righteousness to everyone that believes. To everyone that believes. For Moses writes that a man that does the righteousness which is of the law shall live by it. But the righteousness which is of faith says this: say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring the Messiah down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring the Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And that's taken from Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 14. That is the word of faith, which we preach, because if you shall confess with your mouth that Yahshua is sovereign, and shall believe in your heart that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, or the Jew and the Greek. For the same master is sovereign of all, and rich, and is rich to all that call on him. For whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. The name of Yahweh. Verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they should be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But they did not all listen to the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? So belief comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. But I say, did they not hear? Yes, truly. Their sound went out into all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy with that which is no nation. With a nation void of understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of those that did not search for me. I became manifest to them that did not ask of me. But as to Israel, he says, all the day long I spread out my hands to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. A stiff-necked people Israel was known to be. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 13. Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts and your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons, judges according to each man's work. You see it here again, brethren. It takes some work. Pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of the Messiah. It was a special sacrifice that has given us this opportunity in salvation, who in verse 20 was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sake, who through him are believers in Yahweh, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, to the unfeigned, unpretended love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. That's the key, brethren, that love one to another. Having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of Yahweh which lives and endures. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of it as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of Yahweh endures forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached to you. And it has been preached to each and every one of us. In the passage that was chosen in Psalm 146, it says, happy in verse 5 is he that has the Elohim of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Yahweh his El, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Yahweh looses the prisoner. Yahweh opens the eyes of the blind. Yahweh raises them up that are bowed down. And Yahweh loves the righteous. Yahweh preserves the sojourner. He upholds the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Yahweh will reign forever. Your Elohim, O Zion, to all generations. Hallelujah. And that was perfect because that falls in line with what I'm preaching about today. See? Because what we're talking about is each one of us has need of that substitute, sacrifice, which is Yahshua the Messiah. And each one of us, how that Yahweh can be just and the justifier of the unholy through the merits of the Messiah. And that salvation is by grace alone. It's not by anything that we do, brethren. Even though we're supposed to keep the covenant, it's not about works. It's about faith. This faith in Messiah is sure, certain, infallible evidence, proof and insurance of eternal salvation. Faith is not the cause of grace, salvation, and eternal life, but faith is the proof and evidence of these things. Faith is the substitute of things hoped for. That word substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that word substance means faith is the essence, certainty, and assurance of things hoped for. We know that they're going to come to pass, brethren. Faith possesses beforehand what Yahweh has promised to give. Verily, verily, our Master said, he that believes on me has in possession everlasting life, eternal life. John 6:47. Turn with me there. We're going to start at verse 41. John 6. Like I said, we'll start at verse 41. It says, the Jews therefore murmured concerning him, because I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And they said, is not this Yahshua the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I am come down out of heaven? Yahshua answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of Yahweh. Everyone that has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except he that is from Yahweh. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes has eternal life, and I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yes, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Faith is evidence of things not seen, brethren. Evidence means proof. By faith in the Messiah, I read my name in the book of life. We read our names in the book of life. Faith did not write it there. Yahweh wrote it there before the world was made. By our faith in Messiah is the proof that it is there. Faith is the proof of things not seen. Faith is the proof of the things past, done in eternity, but not seen by men. It is proof of our election and interest in the covenant of grace. Faith is the proof of things done in time, though now unseen. The creation of the world, the righteousness established by Messiah, the redemption accomplished by Messiah, and our justification in him. And faith is the proof of things now unseen, the resurrection of the dead, the judgment, and our eternal glory in and with Messiah. If you can now believe on Yahshua the Messiah, I assure you, upon the authority of Yahweh's word, you have a saving interest in Yahshua. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Yahshua is the Messiah is begotten of Yahweh, and whoever loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, brethren. Evidence means proof. By faith in Messiah, we read our names in the book of life. Sermon that I missed and I found it. Okay. Let's go back to 1 John, same chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 5. Sorry, 5:5. It says, and who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh? This is he that came by water and blood, Yahshua the Messiah, not with water only, but with water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of Yahweh is greater. For the witness of Yahweh is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He that believes on the Son of Yahweh has the witness in him. He that does not believe on Yahweh has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness of Yahweh has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that Yahweh gave us to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has the life. And he that has not the Son of Yahweh has not the life. These things I have written to you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even to you that believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh. And this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we shall have the petition which we have asked of him. And we know that for a fact, brethren. If we come to Yahweh and we ask him anything, anything, he'll give it to us. Any petition, he will give it to us. Of course, it has to be according to his will. Our closing passage, turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse 9. We'll start there. It says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Though we thus speak, but Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed toward his name, and that you ministered to the saints and still do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence to the fullness of hope, even to the end, that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The through faith and patience, inherit the promises. We want to inherit those promises, brethren, and we want to inherit them because we have faith, and the evidence of our faith is evident in the things that we do and how we walk and live our lives before Almighty Yahweh. What is the evidence of your faith, brethren? The same Elohim who parted the Red Sea can truly make a way where there is no way, if only we will believe. But it has happened, but it has to happen His way and in His time, not our own. Our job is to wait in hope, faith, and expectation until the set time, the Moed, arrives, that time that Yahweh has set in eternity. The same Yahweh who allowed for a temporary blindness upon the eyes of the Jewish people with regards to their Messiah, so that the fullness of the Gentiles may come in, will also remove it at a set time in Moedim, and then all Israel will be saved. How we long for that day, brethren. And we know that it is coming soon, that Yahweh is going to open the eyes of the blind, and that Yahweh is going to show us the evidence of our faith, because we believe, we know for a fact as brethren that Yahweh is working in our lives, that He's using us to push this ministry forward, that He's using us to show the evidence of our faith in Yahshua's second coming. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve Him, as you continue to do His will, and as you continue to show your faith to all those who are around you. In Yahshua's holy name, I thank you for listening and hearing this message, and may you put it to practice in your life and do your best to be faithful in everything that you do, showing the evidence of the faith that is within your heart. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Willie McKelvey if he would close this service with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow. Father Yahweh, we come before your throne today, on the Sabbath day, Father, give you thanks and praise for the message that we've heard. Help us, Father, to have the faith that we so badly need, and let our faith be evidence of what we believe, Father. Strengthen us, strengthen your people wherever they are gathered. Help us, Father, to walk that straight and narrow pathway, Father. Help us to be able to have the patience to wait and to realize, Father, that we are here to learn of you and to practice what we read, Father, practice what we hear. Please, Father, strengthen your people that we will always be mindful of your covenants and your law, Father, that we will always be continue to grow in grace and knowledge, Father. We ask your blessing upon your people wherever they are gathered. In Yahshua's name we give you thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.